Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D&Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Whoa. Local, loyal, and ready to spend. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Let's talk about how we can increase your foot traffic or get people to visit your website. Email us today and or message us on our socials so we can find the best packages for you. You can hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D&Z. Here are your hosts, D&Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AYO studio.
AYO.
It's the Fade Route with D&Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. The Yanks get their guy. The Knicks suck. And the big game is set. We begin today's show with some breaking news. Bill Belichick will not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. He fell short in the votes. Seven-time Super Bowl champion. I think he's up there, top five in wins. Z, does this make sense to you?
That's also not taking into account what he... Well, I mean, he won two as a defensive coordinator for the Giants, I believe. So
he got some
hardware. Like, okay. And so six as a head coach... think two as a defensive coordinator.
You're right.
Bill Belichick knows ball at this point. Like, I think we understand that Bill Belichick is very good at his job.
Eight-time Super Bowl champion, six as a head coach, and two as an assistant coach.
So that's quite impressive. Absolutely impressive.
Most Super Bowl wins as a head coach. Most Super Bowl appearances as a head coach. Most playoff wins as a head coach. Most playoff appearances as a head coach. Most division championships as a head
coach. Keep going.
Not a first ballot Hall of Famer. He obviously didn't win enough.
No, you know, fucking 5 years in Cleveland will do that to you. 5 years with the Cleveland Browns will fucking do that to you. You can't get the stink off of you. You can't get the stink off of you. But a lot of it is petty. And Bill Polian has been working the committee. And apparently it worked. So as vengeance for Spygate, he's going to sit out for a year and not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm all about petty. Petty, you know, I'm good with that. That's fine. Like, that's okay. But let's not pretend that Bill Belichick is not a great coach. Because he is. Like, you just listed all of his accolades, right? You're not going to... I was joking about the Cleveland Browns. You're not going to hold that against him. 36-44. So even then, not that terrible, right? Considering the fact that it's the Cleveland Browns. Right? 8 games under 500 in 5 years. Not awful. You could be worse. You could absolutely be worse. The post-Tom Brady life that Belichick has had has been a rough one. It's been a little bit of a rough one. But you made one playoff with Mac Jones, and then he fell off a cliff. That 1 year with Cam Newton was god awful. And then now you're in University of North Carolina, and that's not great either. So it's always been the argument: can Bill Belichick be separated from Tom Brady? Can his success be measured outside of the Brady connection? Outside of the brief run with Bledsoe and the one season with Matt Cassel, it's very difficult to kind of separate Brady from Belichick in that run because they were so enmeshed. And it was very much that the player was an extension of the coach. But once Brady went to the Bucs and, you know, got another Super Bowl, I think we've established that Brady was really the straw that stirred the drink on that. But it's petty. It's bullshit. It is. It's just revenge for going out of your way to be underhanded when you were good enough that you didn't need to be underhanded. It's like Barry Bonds taking steroids. He already had immaculate hand-eye coordination. He already had power. You're just gilding the lily at that point.
Wait, so, you're trying to say them not voting him in first ballot is that? Or you're trying to say like he didn't need to do Spygate and the Flaygate?
What I'm saying he didn't need to do those things in the first place. And this is the league, or this is the committee holding him to account after the slaps on the wrist that they got.
My whole thing is they got penalized for it.
They did. This is double jeopardy.
They lost draft picks. They got fined. They still went back there and still won. And, you know, I'm of the mindset that they weren't the only people doing it. They're the people that got popped. You know, that's fair. I mean, there's a reason why these coordinators cover their mouths when they call in the plays. And there's a reason why, you know, you shred all your game books right after the games are over. You know, there's stuff going on. You don't want to take I think he's still a good coach. I mean, you can't take that away from him, what he accomplished. And, you know, first ballot means a lot to people. And it just, in my opinion, it makes kind of like a joke of the Hall of Fame. Because, you know, if you're going to go around and tell everybody to vote a certain way on a guy just because, you know, he got by on something or he gamed the system, what is that about? I mean, the Colts, I'm pretty sure, you know, it was the Colts who sent some woman to Joe Namath's room the night before the Super Bowl. That worked out well for everybody. As Joe Namath said, you know, I don't think it's fair to do that because, like you said, he was good with the help, and without the help, didn't matter. They still went back and won after that. So I think it is petty, and I hope it's not true that that's what, you know, Bill Polian's going around doing. But, you know, it is what it is. He's going to get in. It just won't be first ballot, and now you hurt other people's chances going in first ballot.
Right, and it's just, you know, what was the point of it? I would just like to know what the point of it was. Just, you know, you're not a first. You're, to your point, you're still going in. It's not like you have this unified front. Again, like Barry Bonds. Like, we're keeping you out. That's it. That's all. Like, there's no gatekeeping here. This is, you know.
Yeah. Who made him the gatekeeper?
I don't understand.
Like, the big dog. Because, you know, but you also had to get people to go along with this. You know, is his voice strong enough in those rooms to get all these people to listen? And you know, you're still holding a grudge of something that happened so long ago. I mean, we're almost on, it's almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Spygate was almost 20 years ago.
But I can understand why you would hold a grudge considering the fact that they were the chief rival. Like, how many times could the Colts have bested the Patriots? Like, and we'll never know because they couldn't. They couldn't. Whether it was legitimate or illegitimate, we'll never know, right? So it's one of those things that, yeah, I get your butt hurt because you got past Brady one time, right? That, fantastic. Like, you got one. You did get one. But it does come off as petty and childish.
Yeah. I don't like it. It stinks.
Discover Afuera Coffee's vibrant flavors from certified Rainforest Alliance farms in Central and South America. Enjoy rich, smooth and aromatic brews while supporting sustainability. Taste excellence with every sip. Use our promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% discount only at afueracoffee.com. That's afueracoffee.com. 15% off using our promo code DNZ.
Sticking with the Patriots, Drake May and the Patriots beat the Broncos 10-7 in the AFC Championship game to advance to the big game. Would the outcome of the game be different if Bo Nix played or if Sean Payton took the points on fourth down to go up 10-0? What do you think, Z?
The Patriots rebuilt, lost a quarterback, found a quarterback, and are two. Right. They're back in the Super Bowl before the Jets have finalized their new coaching staff, because they fired everybody except for Aaron Glenn, by the way. Just
today.
Today. They're all gone. They're all gone.
Today. Why? Today?
Ed Strand was the last one. He's like, pack your shit and get the fuck out.
No problem.
That's it. So 10 to 21 for 86 yards in that slop. Like, that is what Drake May was dealing with. Ramondre Stevenson had a decent game, 25 for 71. Drake May had 65 on the ground. Before the snowstorm, they were slinging it a little bit. They were moving the ball a little bit.
He looked good on the first drive.
Yeah. So did Stidham. Like, Stidham didn't look terrible. Now, the weather and the altitude, the great equalizer in Denver, as we know. I understand why the Patriots wouldn't be prepared for that. What the fuck? Like, if you're Sean Payton, you have to have advanced, you have to have advanced forecast, right? You have to have some knowledge that, hey, there's a snowstorm coming in. Or, hello, it's Denver. It'll snow in the morning, it'll be 80 in the afternoon, and vice versa. Like, that you're in this weird vortex of weather. So you should be able to expect something like that. And they just, they did not look ready for playing in the elements. Would Bo Nix have done better? You think yes, probably yes. You'd have a more complement, more complete playbook. Stidham, 17 of 31 for 133, a touchdown and a pick. Got sacked three times. On the second drive of the game, looked great. And then he looked like a backup quarterback the rest of the way through.
It was a
defensive struggle. We knew it was going to be. But it boils down to Sean Payton and that field goal. I texted you in real time. Take the points. What are you doing? Points are at a premium. It's 7-0. It could be 10-0. Instead, it's a turnover. Now, ultimately, the immediate drive after didn't matter, right? It wasn't that drive that got killed. But being in striking distance then becomes the issue with the Jared Stidham. What was he doing? That's what I don't know. What was he doing?
When he
two-hand shoved it backwards. I'm trying to figure out what he and Josh Allen were thinking. Why that happened? It was a gift for the Patriots. It was right there, and they're right back in the game.
Even the ref didn't know what the hell was going on. It's like, he just tried to pitch the ball?
I don't...
On the ground?
What?
I'm
not on your team. And then it was intentional ground. He was like, no, motherfucker, it wasn't. It was backwards. Not quite, sir. This one's on Sean Payton, man. Like, you have to know when to take the points, and you got to know when to go for it. And, we've been talking about it all year, and we're going to have D'Lo Brown, WWE legend D'Lo Brown, joining us in just a few minutes. But we talked about it with Ben Johnson. We talked about it with Dan Campbell. We've talked about it with Liam Cohen. We've talked about it with a plethora of head coaches. when do you coach with your balls and when do you coach with your brain? And Sean Payton, it was beyond coaching with his balls. He coached with his ego. It's like, I got this. We're good. Like, our defense is going to troll. We're going to trudge through this guy. We're going to wreck his shit. And ultimately, that was not the case because the Patriots were able to run on the Broncos. And ultimately, that, it wasn't the prettiest. It certainly wasn't the prettiest, but it was the most effective. But you have to think that in a world where Bo Nix is playing in that game, that the Broncos are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I don't like to play the what if game, but I'm, you know, Bo Nix didn't exactly light it up all year. He had his moments where he was like non-existent for three quarters, and then all of a sudden became a football player. I could see Bo Nix doing a similar two-handed pitch to the floor, or to, I don't know, the referee backward. I'm sure he would have had his share of moments. So I'm inclined to believe that even if Bo Nix was in that game, they still would have lost. The taking the points thing, that's where I think I have to side with Peyton costing his team the game, because he wound up chasing those 3 points the rest of the game. Yep. Right? Evident, you know, and you would have been in a situation where you're up 10-0. Now you're in control. Your guys are feeling good. And now that it's on the onus of the Patriots to come back and catch you, you know, and even if it, let's say the weather comes in and it does exactly what it does, it stymied both teams, right?
Yeah.
Now it's 10-10 and we're going into overtime and anything can happen. And Patriots probably win the game 9 out of 10 times, but you took that away from your fans. You took that away from your players and you took it away from the viewers.
You did. And, you know, it's one of those things that Peyton is going to have to live with. And it's not like he's got some Scribino kicker. He's got Will Lutz, who did miss. Once the snow came in, right? Yeah. Borquez, he did too. But once the weather came in and it was like kicking a rock in a wind tunnel, it was over.
There were two cold weather teams.
Yeah. And
like you said, it was like almost like everyone was surprised. It's like, I mean, yeah, the game definitely took a different turn climate wise once the wind and the snow happened, but everybody looked surprised like this was happening. It's like, oh shit, I don't know how to play in the cold. I don't know how to play in the wind.
But look at what happened, though. The Patriots adjusted and ran the ball. R.J. Harvey led with 37 yards on 13 carries. No. No. Like, did we learn nothing? When it's that shitty out, run the goddamn ball.
Interesting that the Patriots were 9-0 on the road this year. Interesting that Drake May goes in and wins in Denver in the postseason, something Tom never did.
Yes.
Hey, man, if you look at the stat line, though, I think Stidham actually had a better game. Like, he had a better passing game.
Yes.
And he had a better game. It's just that his two turnovers really wanted to be in the difference. May didn't turn – I don't think May turned the ball over. He didn't pass the ball very well either. But he ran the ball well. He ran the ball well. So
86 yards passing. That's what you got from Drake.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
Something that they have to clean up, though. He got sacked 5 times. Like, if he gets sacked 5 times in the Super Bowl, that's going to be a long-ass day.
He will get sacked Drake 5 times in the Super Bowl.
Molly B's offers unforgettable artisan-crafted cookies. Molly B's Gourmet Cookies brings creative, unique cookies straight to your pantry. No cookie shop required. With bold, unforgettable flavors, they're the ultimate treat for any occasion. Enjoy an exclusive discount when you use my promo code DANDZ, and you could be using that at mollybz.com.
In the NFC Championship game, the Rams lost to the Seahawks 31-27. Both quarterbacks played well, with over 300 yards and no turnovers, but Sam Darnold and the Seahawks prevailed. Can we all chill the fuck out with Colin Stafford, a 10-time quarterback all-time? Like, an all-time top 10 quarterback? Can we chill out with the Hall of Fame first ballots for Stafford now?
Well, we could probably go down the list and name 10 in it, but let's do that exercise in a second. Kenneth Walker had a big game, like only at 62 yards on the ground, but he really established that they were going to have a balanced attack, right? So 36 passes, 20 carries for your bell cow. That's pretty good. Like, that's pretty decent balance.
Really no help either. Cause
no, because Charbo's hurt. George Halani is the backup.
He struggled.
But who?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I mean, Sam Darnold was your second leading rusher. 3 rushes for 9 yards. So that's all solid. You need to know. That's something to clean up in the next 2 weeks.
That's a punt.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of punt, the muff punt. Special teams, ooh, once again, bit, ooh, the Rams in the ass. It's amazing. Like, it's like on cue. It's absolutely on cue that a special teams fuck up or special teams flub is going to cost the Rams dearly. And it did. And no matter what Stafford did, Darnold had an answer. The Seahawks were able to counter. And you know what? That's the game you wanted. Right? The game we got in the AFC title game? No. 10-7, defensive struggle, snow. But no. That's the game you want. You wanted Stafford and Darnold going out there doing what they do. And ultimately, like, Puka Nacua had an amazing game. 165 yards and a tutty. Like, that's great. Davante Adams, 89 yards. Like, they came to play. They balled out in the NFC title game. And if the Patriots get that performance from the Seahawks, if they get their A game, it's going to be a long night. I don't care how good your defense is, because guess what? Seattle's is good too. So this is going to be a very long one. Now let's talk about this Matt Stafford top 10. Let's see if we can rattle 10 off the top of our head. John Elway, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, Patrick Mahomes, gonna have to. I throw Steve Young in there.
Ben. Joe.
Montana.
Marino.
I think I might have already said Marino.
Oh, you said Marino, okay.
I put Bradshaw up there. Okay. I put Bradshaw up there. Staubach, you probably have to put Aikman.
Mm-hmm.
That's 8 right there. So
Moon.
That's tough.
Really?
Wow. Maybe. That's a tough one. Warren Moon was really Aiden? Good. He's got 2. So probably, okay. I would have Brady. Didn't mention Tom Brady.
TV.
That's 10. That's 10 right there. And the only question is maybe Warren Moon or Dan Marino because they didn't win anything. Or Jim Kelly, because they didn't win anything. Mm. But even so, like, if we're talking about just
Favre,
you'd probably have to. And Rodgers, you'd have to consider it.
Rodgers.
You'd have to consider them. You would. You absolutely would. But yeah, like, Stafford's very good. The reason why Matthew Stafford is now lionized is because everybody else around him fucking retired. They're gone. Everybody's gone, man. They're gone.
Drew Brees.
Yes, absolutely. Like, they're all gone.
Right.
Yeah. Who's left? The rotting corpse of Joe Flacco. He's the only one left.
Right.
That's it.
War of attrition. He's won the war of attrition.
Exactly. And he was on an 0-16 team.
He wasn't. He got drafted the next year.
The next year. Oh,
I can clean that up.
So are we saying it was a tank job starting Joey Harrington and Dan Orlovsky to get Matthew Stafford?
Possibly.
I believe it. Rob Marinelli never sniffed a coaching job after a head coaching job after that. Got to get low. You can't get lower than 0-16.
Yeah, so for you, he's not top 10, but is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Well, figure what, 5 years from now, 7 years from now. Well,
just to bring one other thing up, you talked about Marino.
Yeah.
He said, you know, Marino didn't win. Marino maybe didn't win, but when he retired, he held all of the passing records. All of them. Yards, touchdowns, pass. He held all of them. All of them.
Yeah.
Most 3,000-yard passing seasons. Like, he held everything when he left. So
Dan Marino was a stud.
I'm just trying to say, yeah. I know he didn't win, but when he left, he had all the records. So he broke all the records.
Absolutely. So, is he a first ballot? Well, you figure, Rivers' clock gets reset. That's the tricky part.
Yeah.
If he retires this year, he's going to have to probably go another year to get away from Rivers.
Does he retire?
I think he probably has one more year. I think Stafford has one more year.
He's relatively healthy. I mean, there was talk about his back before the season started, but he seemed fine. He knows not to run.
Right. He's a pocket passer.
He will not run. He will throw the ball out of bounds. He will not run. I think he ran for the first time this year against Chicago.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time all year he ran. And he ran for 3 yards or something like that.
But that's the thing, though. As a veteran, he's finally picking his spots. Oh, yeah. He's learned.
Brady and just like Peyton, at some point you realize, I'm just going to throw the ball on the ground.
Right. And that's
we have nothing to gain here.
No. And that's something that Lamar is still trying to learn. Jackson Dart still needs to learn. You don't need to always try and make something out of nothing. Josh Allen certainly needs to learn that.
Is Josh Allen better than Matthew Stafford? That's a good one.
That is a good one. I would have to say Josh Allen is, only because he's a dual threat, right? You're not going to, Matthew Stafford is not a burner, but he's not going to take off. And if he does, I'm going to tee off on him.
Fire con Dios.
Right. Josh Allen's going to truck you. Or he's going to pitch the ball to somebody. We don't know who. But he's going to pitch it somewhere. Right. So, but in terms of dual talent, I would go Allen over Stafford right now. You have to think he's in consideration for first ballot Hall of Famer. Wow. Depends on who else is there. And I don't know, because it's taken Rivers this long. It took Eli Manning this long. And Eli Manning, they don't have that dissimilar of a record. Mm. And Eli's got two.
He beat Tom.
And he beat Tom twice.
Twice.
He's nice. He's nice. He's Eli Manning. He's nice.
And he beat the undefeated Patriots team.
He beat it twice. He beat him twice. So,
Greasy better than Stafford?
Ooh. I was starting to think about the vintage quarterbacks, right? I was going to throw Johnny U on there, and
Johnny U's better than him, right? I mean, that's not even a question, is it? Is it a question? Yikes.
Numbers-wise, Stafford smokes him in terms of touchdowns. But that's the thing. It was a different time. You have to take into account that, you know, they're not throwing with the regularity that they're throwing now, right? Mm. So, and also, Johnny U never had Megatron. So, you know, I think that
Flacco or Stafford?
I'd have to go Flacco, actually.
Right?
Matt Ryan or Stafford?
Matty Ice.
Oof. That's telling.
The only problem is that, you know, Matt doesn't have any, and Stafford at least has the one.
He would have had one if it wasn't for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. So I went on, you know, our socials, and I gave my perspective on this. It's I think we're forgetting a whole part of his career. He played for the Detroit Lions, where he was fucking lousy. He didn't win. He was 0-3 in the playoffs, and he had a sub-500 record as in the regular season. And then he goes to the Rams, to a loaded team where Devontae Adams is the number two. And even in the year they won the Super Bowl, they had Cooper Kupp, who was the MVP of the Super Bowl. He didn't even get the MVP award.
Right.
So it's, you know, I think Stafford's good, but he doesn't have any passing records. I think he's sixth or seventh all time. I mean, how much longer is he going to play? I mean, if he's just going to keep throwing, he could probably play into his 40s, but will he? I don't know. I mean,
I doubt that he would do that, though.
If Eli's not a first ballot, then Matthew Stafford's not a first ballot.
Right.
It's just, you know, if Bill Belichick's not a first ballot, Matthew Stafford definitely is a first ballot. Like, you
right.
know,
if Bill Belichick's not a first ballot, then
now
we're done
here. if he goes on a tear and he winds up winning like 3 or 4 Super Bowls, which it's possible, then we could talk about it. But right now he's only got one.
Right.
And, you know, he's Matthew Stafford. Like, even against Chicago last week, he didn't throw any touchdown passes.
No, he didn't. He put up a lot of yards.
Put up 236 yards or 246 yards, but he didn't throw any touchdown passes and he didn't run. Like, I'm not saying you got to be a dual threat, but, you know, like I talked about over the weekend, I mean, who are his peers right now? Like, it's the war of attrition, dude. Like, everybody that used to slap you is gone. That's why you're winning. Because
with the exception of Rodgers, but Rodgers is now in the other conference.
Like, all the guys that were slapping you around are gone. Like, Roethlisberger, Brady, Manning, Drew Brees, all these guys, Matt Ryan, all these guys are gone. And now you're winning. So what does that mean? I don't know what it means. I mean, come on. The four quarterbacks left were May, Stidham,
Stafford, Darnold,
dude.
Right.
Like, whatever. Like, whatever. Whatever.
Old Glory offers over 300,000 items for music, sports, entertainment, and pop culture fans, featuring officially licensed merch from iconic bands and top sports teams. Discover your perfect fan gear and save with our exclusive discount at oldglory.com. Enter the promo code DNZ at oldglory.com and save 15% off any product. That's oldglory.com. Enter the promo code DNZ and start saving.
Stage is set.
So, we got a rematch. Seahawks-Patriots.
Yeah.
So, what's the storyline? We have 2 weeks to talk about this. So, what is the storyline that...
Ghostbuster. It's the Ghostbuster. He's going to be the Ghostbuster. That's the storyline. It's Sam Darnold all the way. That's it. And he's playing the game. He's playing against the team that he was seeing ghosts against. And this is everything coming to a head. You get drafted by the New York Jets. You're paired with Adam Gase. You see ghosts. You then get tossed aside to go to Carolina, where you and Baker Mayfield are both not good enough. You wind up going to San Francisco. He was in the 2023 Super Bowl with the 49ers.
Yes.
He just didn't play. He goes to Vikings and has a reinvigorated career where he gets his team to the playoffs and they're competing, and then he loses horribly. He goes to Seattle, and in a year, he is in the Super Bowl facing against the team that he saw ghosts against. It doesn't get much better than this, you know, and I don't know. I mean, we're not going to reveal our picks yet, but I'm rooting for him. I want him to win. I want him to overcome it. He's only been in the league 7 years. All we ever did was talk about all those quarterbacks in that draft. And he's the guy. He's the guy that gets to the first Super Bowl. Not Allen, not Jackson, not Rosen, not Mayfield. Darnold.
He's also the first USC quarterback to ever.
Which is wild.
That's wild. Right?
Well, he's the first USC quarterback to play quarterback in the Super Bowl. Because there was a guy who was the quarterback of USC. I think he was actually the first African-American quarterback of USC. And he wound up going undrafted, but he wound up going to play for the Green Bay Packers.
Mm.
And wound up being their safety and played in the league for 8 or 9 years under Lombardi.
Huh.
Yeah,
but at the quarterback position, right?
No, he played. Yeah.
So Sam will be the first USC quarterback at the quarterback position.
Yes,
so not Sanchez, not Palmer, not Leinart,
John David Booty,
no JD Booty, no Jen. You know, none of them. None of them.
Leinart.
Ugh. So if you had it, like, good for you. It's a Sam Darnold situation.
Willie Wood. Willie Wood.
Willie Wood.
That was the guy's name. Willie Wood. Look him up.
Solid. Everyone. That's a good trivia question right there. That's a great trivia question. It really is. The lion's share of the story is going to be about Sam Darnold exercising demons. You know, ghosts, if you will. But it is the ascension of the Patriots again.
Oh, that's your storyline.
That's a major story, man. They were looking for their mouthpiece, right? Belichick had a down year. Gerard Mayo had a down year. And in 1 year, in one goddamn year, Mike Vrabel comes in with Josh McDaniels and restores the Patriot way. Like, the resurgence of the Patriots, while other teams are still trying to rebuild,
how good is Josh McDaniels as a coordinator?
As a play caller, he's top. He's definitely, he's up there, right?
It's impressive.
It's Josh McDaniels. It's Andy Reid. And you know what? Mike McDaniel, hell of a
Matt
play caller.
Nagy? Did you say Matt Nagy?
Certainly not Dabes, the new OC of the Titans. So they brought in
Dabes.
The brain trust of Robert Saleh and Brian Daboll together.
Who hired this crew?
For Cam Ward.
Cam Ward's like, oh shit.
Poor Cam Ward. Poor Cam Ward.
Can I hit the portal? Can I hit the portal?
But, you know.
Trade me, please.
There's going to be a lot of Drake May. Like, is Drake May the next Tom Brady? Like, you got them back. But the resurgence of the Patriots is going to be a story for the, you know, for the foreseeable future. The rematch part of it. So you're going to see a lot of the Malcolm Butler play. You're probably going to get a lot of Marshawn Lynch. You're going to get a lot. There's going to be a lot of Russ bashing for the next two weeks, even though
that was such a good Super Bowl.
It was a great Super Bowl.
28-24.
Yeah, and we're going to see that reaction from Brady on the sideline. Oh, shit. Yeah, we won! Yes! Yes! Fantastic.
Hey, you'd high-five Garoppolo.
God.
Well, now, so if they get in that position, like, they're on the goal line, do they pound the ball?
Run the goddamn ball. Like, you hope that Josh McDaniels learns his fucking lesson. It's like, I've been here before. This feels familiar.
I've seen this.
What do I do?
Josh McDaniels was the OC of the Patriots.
Of the Patriots,
right?
Yes.
Or was it?
No, it was McDaniels. Or was it Bill O'Brien?
It might have been Bill O'Brien.
But who was it? It was Daryl Bevel was the OC for Seattle
Seahawks. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, dude, I've been here before. This looks so familiar. Walker, run the goddamn ball.
I think it'll be a good game, and I don't think it'll be as good as that one. Because you had the Legion of Boom coming off of fucking crushing Peyton in Super Bowl 50, right? Or no, They, I don't know if it was Super Bowl 50, but they crushed Peyton Manning
at
the Meadowlands, and then the next game, the next Super Bowl, they were going up against Tom, but Tom and company were ready. We're like, all right, it's going to throw out passes the whole game. Just stay out of the middle of the field, make them defend.
And you know, where Brady has the edge, well, several edges, but Drake May, has that little bit of the fumbling problem. He's got a little turnover prone. We've seen that. Something that the Seahawks can exploit.
Oh, yeah. I think both quarterbacks are flawed.
Oh, right? Completely. That's the other thing. That's the other storyline that you're going to get around Sam Darnold. It's going to be the exercising demons of icy ghosts. Or it's going to be, when is the real Sam Darnold going to show up?
Right, right. But, Is this the real Sam Darnold, the one that's playing in this game? Is that it, or are you really the other guy?
Ginger Cuz, or is it the guy from the Jets?
Because let's be real, this team is going to have 2 weeks to get ready for you, dude. They're going to be ready. Braves is going to be ready. They're going to be ready for you. They're going to be ready for everything you have. So you are going to have your best game. And I know McDonald is going to be ready for Drake May and the Patriots have to walk. I know that. I think he's a way better defensive coach than Vrabel is. But the X factor, that's why the storyline keeps coming back to Sam. It all comes down to Sam. Because May, no matter what he does, he's going to get sacked. Mm-hmm. He's going to throw an interception. But what is Sam going to do? Is Sam going to do the same shit?
Or
is Sam going to keep it together? give it, or is he going to get the ball to JSN or give it to Kenneth Walker? Like, is this even going to be a game? Because let's be real, the Patriots haven't been challenged all year. I mean, yes, they beat the Broncos, but come on, they played against their backup and it was snowing outside.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, come on, let's be real about that.
I mean, they had the easiest schedule as the last place team and all of that, but you beat who's on your schedule into the playoffs. You know, you knock off.
They lost to the Raiders in the opening game.
Right. Right, but they were still able to rattle off a 10-game heater at one point during the season. So you can't discount that. But, you play who's on your schedule. You get to the playoffs, you knock off the Chargers, and you go through the higher caliber of talent. Yes, Bo Nix wasn't there. I understand that. Jared Stidham was there. You still had to go against that Broncos
Chargers
defense.
And the Texans.
Yeah. So, Chargers, very good defense. Texans, I believe number one defense. Broncos ended up being, I think, like number three. So it's like 1-3-5. You had to knock off.
That was also a shitty weather game.
Right. Now, in Santa Clara, you're not going to get that. You're absolutely not going to get that. You're going to get as close to perfect conditions as you're going to master. You know, it's a great equalizer. It's going to be good throwing weather. Let's see what they can do.
It's a great day to throw.
This will be the day. This will be where we find out who these guys are.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Moving on to basketball. The Knicks are currently in fourth place in the East behind Toronto, Boston, and Detroit. Yes, I said Toronto. I know we are in the dog days of the NBA, but this was supposed to be the Knicks' year. Like, right? No Tatum. Embiid was hurt. 76ers were trash last year. The Heat are garbage. Like, this, the Cavaliers are still figuring shit out. This was supposed to be their year. So can the Knicks still turn it on, or do they need to trade Cat Williams?
Well, Carl Anthony Towns is rumored. I think I saw a potential trade to the Grizzlies. I think for Jaren Jackson Jr., I believe
that's a good
it was
one.
The
I like that.
So it's not terrible. As long as it's the Jalen Brunson show, the Knicks are going to be who they are, right? So you need, the whole point of all this is that it's a team effort. Your leading points guy, Jalen Brunson. Your leading assist guy, Jalen Brunson. So, you know, you have to kind
of... Your leading all-star vote getter.
Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson.
You know, it's the Jalen Brunson show. And you need to be able to rely on some other guys here, right? You have Cat, right? You have OG, you have Hart, you have Bridges. You traded a fucking King's ransom for Bridges.
Yes, they right? did.
Yes, the Brooklyn Nets own your draft for like the next 5 years. Like, congratulations. They're only scoring 117 points a game. That's about seventh in the league. So...
And they're near the bottom in defense.
Right, which was the complete opposite.
27th in defense.
It's the complete flip of Tibbs. It's everything you complained about with Tibbs, right? Like, oh, their defense is so good, but I wish they could score more. All right, oh, they're scoring okay, but now they can't defend. You know who they are? They're the New York fucking Mets. They can't put it together. They need to
the
put
Mets.
It together.
Meet the Mets.
I mean, if you squint, Brunson kind of looks like Lindor, I guess. Maybe. Maybe. But, you know, you got to put it together. And Mike Brown being here, like, yeah, he's not Tibbs. But at the same time, that defense played, man. The problem with Tibbs was his lack of rotation, his reliance on the veterans, and running dudes into the ground. His reputation is his reputation. So I understand that. But you got places. if you're just going to try and outscore teams, this ain't going to work. Plain and simple. You don't have the horses. So maybe you trade Cat for Jaren Jackson. I mean, Giannis is out. So, like, you figure he's out. Kuminga's out. Like, all the high-profile guys, I'm not trading for them at the trade deadline in hopes that maybe, just maybe, that they'll be okay. Like, it's risky. It's a very risky proposition. But I think they do need to retool. And, I mean, Cat's probably going to be the odd man out because you got to give to get. But something needs to get done because this version of the Knicks, they're not going to go far in the playoffs.
No, not at all. And Z, I'm gonna do you one better. I don't think they have the coaching for it. I've seen Mike Brown. I've seen it before.
Yeah.
Mike Brown is a good coach. He's a good guy. He's a player's coach. He's too nice. He's too nice. He's not going to get in someone's face. He's not going to call someone out. He's not the guy that gets your team over the hump, right? He's not your guy that you're going to go to war with,
right,
to battle with. He's a guy that's going to win you games. He'll get coach of the year, you know, but eventually players are going to do what they want to do. And I just don't think he has the attitude that the New York Knicks need. And that's why I feel like they're taking a step back. Come on, Z. They should be better than the Pistons this year.
Well, they should be. Absolutely.
They should be better than Toronto this year. They should be better than Boston without Tatum this year. And they're not. I think we both agree that if they were to get to the playoffs, when they get to the playoffs, we don't have them winning more than a game, right? We don't have them winning more than one round.
Well, right? It's 4-5 again. They're stuck in 4-5. Like, that's
which is
kind
of right. That's, but I'm just saying, once they get past their first round opponent, I don't believe that they can beat an upper echelon team. I don't think they can beat the Pistons in a 7-game series. I don't think they can beat Boston in a 7-game series. I don't even think they can beat Cleveland in a 7-game series. Right? And Cat's a good player, but when I watch them play, I feel like they just all hate playing with Jalen Brunson. Like, that's what it feels like. Like, Anobi should be able to get his. Mikal Bridges should be able to get his. A lot of times they're standing around and watching this guy. I think I told you like a month ago, I went to go see them play the 76ers, and it was just such a content game. Like, the 76ers didn't even have Joel Embiid, but Tyrese Maxey's like, I'm getting 30 tonight, guys. I don't care what anybody else does in this team, but I'm going to get 30. Who's stopping me or who's matching me? Nobody's stopping him. And at that night, Brunson wasn't able to match him. So they lost. And this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. Like, there's,
and that's been the problem. Right? Right. You've always been looking for that secondary guy to go with Brunson. Right? You brought in all the Villanova players. You brought in DiVincenzo. You brought in Hart. You brought in Bridges. And it did not work the way you hoped it would. Right? They don't have a secondary scorer at the level of Brunson. They don't have the 1A. Cat hasn't been the 1A that they were hoping for.
He's not that guy. He's not that guy.
Now, the other thing I saw, which I'm not enthused about, but maybe they do it. Cat to the Mavericks, and you bring back Anthony Davis. It improves your defense, but is he going to play? That's my problem with Anthony Davis.
No,
he's not going to fucking play.
He's not going to play.
Right? And that you run the risk of him, a guy like Kawhi, like all the, any time you want to start thinking about guys like that, right? Potential game changers. It's like, but is he going to play?
He's not going to play.
Right.
I like the idea maybe of going for Kuminga, going for another guard, going for another player, going for another scorer, right?
Yeah.
Because you tried the big man thing, it just didn't work. Do you pony up for Giannis? Right?
I mean, that's the only other option. He's hurt again.
He's hurt.
That's giving me a little pause.
The problem is like, you don't have any draft picks and you're not winning.
Right. Right.
You're not going to win.
But then that becomes a problem.
This team... even if they made it out of the East, they're not beating Oklahoma City. They're not beating the Houston Rockets. They're not beating the Spurs. They're not beating the Lakers. They're not going to beat any team in the West. Like, so you can't beat any team in the East. You can't beat any team in the West. So what are we doing? What's the plan? Right? That's, you know, that's just what it is. I mean, so my opinion is that they might be able to turn it on, but even if they turn it on, they're not going to get out of the second round, and they can't beat anybody in the West.
Well, that becomes an issue.
Now, for sure.
Are you going to, like, they're playing the Kings right now. Like, you should beat the Kings, right? They're only beating them by 10. They're beating a 12-win team by 10.
They lost to the Mavericks.
They did.
A 12th-place team.
Yes, they did.
At home.
Yes, they did. So they can play down the competition. Now, we only have a few weeks until the trade deadline. So it makes you wonder who is going to be available and what they're willing to pony up.
You've got the Lakers. You've got the Lakers bailing on Anthony Davis. You've got the Mavericks bailing on Luka Doncic. You've got the Hawks bailing on Trae Young. All these teams are letting go of these guys. Why? Because they're not winning.
Right.
But you acquire players, and you're not winning. You're not. Just not happening.
Yeah. So the question is, where can you send Cat in order to get back some impact players and or draft picks, right? I like the Memphis idea. I think that that's been the best one I've seen so far. Mm-hmm. But we still have a couple weeks.
Yeah, I like Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, that could work. Mm-hmm. I just think we need to let it play out a little bit longer. And I think, like, things will kind of shake out and things will kind of settle to where they are. Elevate your protein game with Clear Whey protein powder. Lactose-free, sugar-free, and refreshingly delicious. Perfect for a flavorful protein-packed boost. That's Clear with a K. Go to clearprotein.com, enter promo code DNZ for 20% off any product. That's clearprotein.com. Clear with a K. But speaking of settling, the Yankees got their guy. It's the same guy they had. Cody Bellinger.
They got a free agent to re-sign with them?
Get the fuck out of here.
They got a guy to come back to their team?
So 5 years, $162.5 million. Okay. So is Cody Bellinger going to help the Yankees lose to the Dodgers in the World Series?
Sounds like a question I would ask.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Here's the deal, D. I mean, last season, Bellinger was .272 average, 29 home runs, 98 RBIs.
Yes.
They did not make it to the World Series.
No, they didn't.
They just gave him this contract for 5 years, $162.5 million. The Yankees are banking that he's going to be better than that next year. And by being better, that's what's going to get them to the World Series and win the World Series. Now, when I phrase the question that way, what's your response?
Yeah, no. Try again.
That's my response. Try again. Listen, so I think both teams got what they want. I think both sides got what they wanted out of this. He got his 5-year deal, $162.5 million. They got him to come back because they need the outfielder / first baseman. But the only problem with this is you're expecting him to do better than he did last year, and I don't think he can. He has a history of going up and down. There's a reason why nobody wants to sign this guy to a long-term contract. And I really do believe that the only reason why they gave him this money was because they were worried about the Mets getting him. And if the Mets got him and the Yankees didn't, that would have been a much more striking blow to the Yankees' ego than anything else. So I think the Yankees will be good enough to get to the World Series, but they're going to inevitably get beat by the Dodgers, probably in a sweep this time.
Yeah, I don't even, as presently constituted, I don't even think the Yankees will be in the conversation.
Well, they have the pitching, Z.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they?
Sure. Come on.
No.
Their starting rotation's pretty good.
Cole coming off of injury, you don't know what you're going to get. Rodon coming up.
4-5 ERA. 4-5 ERA.
That's not good enough.
He wins 12 games, though. He'll win 12 games.
That's not good enough.
He'll win 12 games. But, okay.
That's not good enough.
What's Rodon?
Rodon, bone spurs, out till May.
Okay.
So that's two right there.
He's a 10-game winner. He'll win 10.
Yeah. Or his back will flare up and he'll be back on the IL. Now, Max Fried pitched out of his mind last year. Are you going to get that from Max Fried again?
He's going to win 16 games. 100%. Sub-4 ERA.
Yeah.
Sub-4 ERA. 16 games, sub-4 ERA.
Luis Gil has not touched Rookie of the Year status. He has not been there.
He's going to surprise people. He'll win double digits.
Will Warren.
No.
Ryan Weathers.
No.
The guys who are actually going to be starting for this team while Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon are on the mend. Ryan Yarbrough.
He'll be okay.
He's there to take a beating. That's why Ryan Yarbrough is there. He's there to take a fucking beating. So, yeah, no, man. This is a situation where the Yankees could potentially get buried.
By who? Who in the East is going to beat them? Boston? With
absolutely.
Who?
Boston? Toronto? The defending pennant winner? Yeah, I would say so.
I don't know. What did they do in the offseason to get back? They lost Bo Bichette. Who scares you on Toronto?
Vlad Jr. He's already there. That team is already there.
You think so?
Yes. Yes. Abso-friggin-lutely.
But you agree with the Orioles being trash and Boston being trash.
I don't agree with Boston being trash.
You think Boston's
I think Boston is going to be there. It's
Bobby Dalvac is back in town and he's going to let it rip.
Roman Anthony. That's who.
Okay.
Roman Anthony.
You're a believer.
I believe that he's a good player. Yeah, okay. I think that's going to be the Red Sox are going to be fine. Offensively, I think the Orioles would be fine. The pitching is the issue for them. I don't see where the Yankees got better.
Yeah.
Bellinger in left, same as last year. Trent Grisham in center. You ain't getting Trent Grisham from last year. No.
Aaron Hicks 2.0.
Right. Like, he took the qualifying offer. What? Shit, fuck. God damn it. So that's where we are with Mr. Grisham. Aaron Judge in right. Okay. Fine. Ben Rice at first. What are you getting for Ben Rice? Like, is he Banneros? Is he going to be the guy who he was?
He's going to have to be like the 22, 24 home run guy.
Yeah. He's going to have to replace.
I think he can do it.
We'll see.
I think he's that good.
We'll see.
First base.
He's got to play first base. He's got to. What's your alternative?
Clay could play first base and then the Martian could go play the outfield.
Dominguez is not good. Sorry, guys. I hate to break it to you. Jason Dominguez isn't good.
Dominguez is not good. 5'7".
No. He's a bloated Melky Cabrera. There you go. You have at second base, you have Jazz, who they're trying to trade. Okay. You have Caballero until Volpe comes back. So you got Caballero. Because I doubt that you're going to stick Volpe out there. And then you have a platoon of Ahmed Rosario and Ryan McMahon at third base. Defensively, awesome. That's great. Can Ryan McMahon actually hit above 240? Can he actually, with a short porch in right field, can he actually hit? Can he hit a representative?
Hit your weight, motherfucker.
That's it. That's it. It's like, dude, you came from Colorado. Like, you came from Colorado to just as good of a situation with a short porch in right field. God damn it. And then behind the plate, who's catching? Austin Wells?
Yeah.
That didn't do anything for me. Austin Wells doesn't do shit for me.
He looks good when he strikes out.
He does. He's got that nice mustache. He's going to go eat a breakfast burrito.
I look bad when I strike out, but he looks good when he strikes out.
Yeah. And then, you know, you're going to have, what, J.C. Ascara backing him up? Or is Ben Rice going
to
be back
Ben
there?
Rice is going to have to be the backup.
And who's going to play first base?
Bellinger.
Then
Marsh in the outfield.
No. That's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. No.
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 No. Oh, I forgot the immortal Paul Blackburn is also getting an invite to spring training to be in the rotation. Exactly. You lost Devin Williams. You lost Luke Weaver. Yeah, you have a full season of Doval. Doval was not great. Bednar was good. So you have Bednar in the back end of the bullpen.
He can close games.
Well, who's going to get him? Who's going to get it to him? Right? So, I'm not seeing it, man. I'm just not seeing it. And Michael Kay going on his radio show talking about how if the Yankees run it back with this team, they could be a 96-win team with Cole. Like, that. Those are some rosy-ass glasses, my friend.
I agree with him. I think they can win 96 games.
They are some. That is some rosy.
But they're not the Yankees of old. They're not the Yankees that, you know, kick people's ass and dominate. They're gonna turn more heads this year, I think, pitching than hitting, because this all also relies on a healthy Aaron Judge, who is a big dude and he's getting older, right? I mean, yeah. So let's be real about
that's
that.
A lot of ifs.
He's a big dude and he's getting older.
But
right.
That's a lot of ifs. If Cody Bellinger can play up to standard, if Aaron Judge can stay healthy, if Jazz can actually stay on this team and keep his head on straight, if Gerrit Cole can come back, if Carlos Rodon, if the guys from last year play up to their par.
Finish this sentence for me. The Yankees will make the World Series if
the Blue Jays completely fall apart.
Okay,
that's it. The
division is the Blue Jays to lose
completely,
even though they finished the season last season tied with the Yankees, right?
The Blue Jays are better than the Yankees,
okay.
Clearly better than the Yankees.
Okay,
so it's going. They need more, right? We've been talking about it with the Mets, right? We said the Mets need more. And what they do? They went and got Luis Robert. I'm not enthused, but hey.
Hey, man. Could be a change of scenery guy, right?
Maybe. You know, maybe.
Could be a change of scenery guy.
Possibly. And it only cost you Luis Angel Acuna and a low-level prospect. So that's fine. You take a flyer. That I'm okay with that. I'm a flyer. A year of Freddy Peralta for Sproten Williams. You got Tobias Myers back in that deal. Right, so and then you got Bo Bichette, a year of Bo Bichette. The Yankees need more. They need to infuse this team with a little bit more oomph. Ahmed Rosario is not it. Like bringing back the guys that were already here that didn't excite you in the first place is not it. You're the New York fucking Yankees. Start acting like it, goddammit.
So here's my question. There's all the talk. They want a salary cap and everything like that. So if there's a salary cap, I'm assuming the Yankees are going to spend all of it? Is that what they'll do?
Well, like, if George was the owner, yeah.
I'm just curious, like, what the salary cap's going to change. Like, because right now, right, there's no cap. So you spend as much as you want.
Spend as much as you want.
The Dodgers go nuts, and the Yankees are top five in payroll.
Well,
Mets
with
are top
the salary
five
cap.
So if you put in a salary cap, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, the Dodgers are going to hit that. So now are the Yankees going to hit that number regardless of what it is? Like, is that how this is going to play out?
I don't know.
Will you have teams that don't spend the cap?
Oh, yeah. You're gonna have teams that are near the floor.
When there's a cap, are they gonna spend up to the cap?
I don't know that because there's a luxury tax, and he's trying to get under the luxury tax.
So he's still gonna try to stand. So
Halsteimer is trying to get under the luxury tax.
So putting in a cap is not really gonna change the Yankees' spending.
Their cheap ass approach. their bargain basement Dollar General approach in recent years.
Card counters at the casino, fellas.
It is kind of weird that, you know, Paul Blackburn, Ahmed Rosario, Trent Grisham, and Cody Bellinger. There's your offseason, guys. Have at it. We traded for Ryan Weathers. Have a nice day.
His father was very happy about it.
His father sucked as a Yankee. David Weathers was not good as a Yankee.
He was a terrible player. I remember him more when he was on the Marlins, and he was awful.
Yes. David Weathers.
He did get a World Series, I think.
He did. Stormy Weathers was yeah. Like he was one of the additions, but he was not a critical one. I think he was better when he was with the Brewers. Like after he left the Yankees and went to the Brewers, he was way more effective. But
they literally took the Marlins' best pitcher because he was the Marlins' best pitcher at the time.
He was the best reliever. But just because you can handle Miami doesn't mean you can handle New York.
No, just because you can just take other teams' best players when not everybody's spending money, that's what happens. Right.
Well, and best is relative. Like the best player on the Marlins,
it sure is.
Like the nicest guy in prison.
Right.
Yeah, it's
100% right.
Come on now. So that's kind of where we are. But the Yankees need to do something here because I fear with the Red Sox pitching additions.
There's no other moves to make. There's no other moves to make. This is it. There's nothing else out there. There's nothing to do. They're not going to spend any more money. There's no trades to be made. This is it.
The expectation then that we're just going to run it back with the same dudes and we're going to have the same results or better, that's absurd. That's absolutely absurd.
That's the definition of insanity.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Well, that's the definition of New York Yankee baseball.
Right.
It's a funny game, Susan. It's a funny game.
Did he die?
No. John Sterling? I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Shit, I hope not. Damn. I gotta look that up.
I don't know. I thought somebody said he died.
Fuck. Oh, well, then if that's the truth, if that's the case, they're gonna win one for John.
Let's bring him back.
Still alive. Still alive. Right, 87 good. Years old. Going strong. Mid is high. Mid is far. He ain't gone.
You're alive. John, you're still here. Oh, thanks.
Yankees win.
Enough, John.
John, go home.
Do you think he does that when he watches them play?
I hope so. I hope so.
Like you hear him in the other room? What the fuck is he doing?
They should just put some train some cameras on him, have him pretend he's at the stadium, and just go for it. Just absolutely go for it.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style featuring Hypercool Jade technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that can be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route this week is WWE and Impact Wrestling legend, former member of the Nation of Domination and Aces and Eights, and the OG Eurocontinental Champion, and the man that once almost made Ron Simmons cry, D'Lo Brown.
What's going on, Phils? How are y'all doing? I appreciate being on. Thank you for having me. And full disclosure, we were talking offline about a bunch of stuff. We just bonded over a whole bunch of stuff offline just that the people wish they could find out about.
Next level. It's going to be next level. Can't wait.
Let's go.
But you know, your singles run with the European title in 1998 cemented you as a made guy in the WWE. In that run, you got to work with other amazing wrestlers like Sean Waltman, Dustin Rhodes, Vader, Jeff Jarrett, and Owen Hart, just to name a few. but who is your favorite to work with? And is there a specific match or moment where you realize, hey, I'm really getting over here?
Favorite to work with is pretty easy. It's X-Pac. I say that all the time. I always believe that he and I can have a five-star match in a phone booth just because we had that chemistry together. And it didn't matter where we were, what city, what country, what time of day. If you put my name next to his, I got that excitement because we just meshed together. And if there's one match that I, in the WWE, if I really like a lot, other than my Xbox stuff, would be SummerSlam, me, Val Venus, Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
Opening up the show was one of our favorite matches because given the circumstance at the time, that was probably one of the most pivotal pay-per-views of WWF's history at that moment. That's moving into Attitude and really trying to take over. And then they give these two young kids 20 minutes to set the bar and open the show up. And we walk back proud as hell after that match and really set the tone for the rest of the night.
Yeah, that's got to be a great feeling. But you're also worked under many creative minds in your career, like Jim Cornette, Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff, and Vince McMahon himself. Was there ever a storyline or character change that you pitched to the head of creative that you felt strongly about and ultimately never made it out of the pitch?
You throw a lot of stuff out there. Nothing I can say that I felt really strong about. Like, I was like, this is going to work, and it got thrown away or given to somebody else. But no matter who creative was, I was lucky enough to always have an open dialogue with them. So if it was, you know, let's tweak the character a little bit this way, let's make him a little more arrogant, let's make him a little more cocky, let's open up and add the chicken strut and the shaking the head walk, little bit of things like that. Or if it was, you know, on the house shows, we would do I would be from multiple towns in Europe. Every time I was announced from a different city in Europe. And when that finally got made on TV, it was sit down and go, yeah, this is a good idea. Let's go with it and have some fun. So yeah, I was lucky enough always to have the creative ear of whoever was there.
And it, like, right now they have the Unreal on Netflix. Is it really like that when you get back in Gorilla? Are you really, you know, talking about the match and how everything went and everybody's kind of buddy-buddy? Is it really like that?
So how real is Unreal?
Unreal is about 10% real.
Gotcha, that's what I thought.
It's a TV show.
Yeah, we
figured. yes, when you come back through the curtain, there's your opponent, there's your producer, and right across you can see the higher ups. And yes, there's instant feedback. If it's a big moment, they celebrate with you. If the match goes poorly, they talk to you. So it's right there. So that part is pretty spot on. Now, it's not as much pomp and circumstance as Unreal is. They're kind of elevating that up a little bit. You're not jumping in anybody's arm and hugging them for dear life.
Right.
But you are definitely interacting with your agent, your producer, or whoever you're in the ring with and going over what happened. Yes. Now, mind you, Gorilla is a lot bigger now than it used to be. It used to be a chair, a curtain, and you would walk into the arena. There wasn't this big office like structure back then.
It's like a huge headquarters now.
It looks like an office where you would, you know, sell tile flooring at. Like, it's that huge.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Gorilla was never that big. It was just usually you'd come back through, and there was an area on the stage people were sitting, but nothing big like that.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But I mean, they've come a long way. But
they've come a long way. I wish Gorilla was like that when I was there. It looks pretty cool. Yeah.
No, so, it looks very sophisticated.
In your career, D'Lo, did you have a favorite agent, or did you have somebody who you just like clicked with, or just like somebody like he knew like how to put a match together that like you could just go out there and just execute?
I loved working with like Jack Lanza or Pat Patterson, and Pat Patterson was like, he was the greatest wrestling mind I've ever came across. I can tell you, I remember one time it was me and X-Pac, and we had, you know, X and I had been all over the country, and we didn't want to do the same finish or the same match in the same town from 5 months ago. So we walk up to Pat and we're like, hey, Pat, can you give us an idea for a finish and laying out a match? And I swear to goodness, it wasn't 2.2 seconds. Pat goes, why don't you try this, this, and this, and the crowd go banana. And so we went out there and did it. And by God, as soon as we're doing it, we're like, yeah, I was right. As one, and it's like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So that's just the greatest wrestling mind I've ever been around. Like in terms of, you could ask Pat Patterson anything and he can come up with a unique finish or match structure that was totally different than anything else that was on the show. And he could pull it off the top of his head like that. It was off. I've never been around a wrestling mind like that other than say like a Cornette, who's just that quick witted and quick, that boom, 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 boom. Nowhere else have I ever seen anything like that.
Love James.
That's great.
Love James. Yeah. Huge
fan. That's my dude. That's my dog. That's my dog.
So you've transitioned to a career as a road agent and color commentator. Who have been your role models in these roles, and what's the best advice you've received?
Best advice I received is be the agent you always wanted when you were working. Be that person with the open ear. Don't try to make them work a match that D'Lo Brown would work. Have them work their match and you give them pointers and lead them down the path. Don't tell them what to do. Kind of get a feeling of what they want to do. And that's probably been the most successful thing that has helped me in relating to younger talent. Put together matches, put together storylines, etc. It's being the agent I always hope to have. Now, when it comes to being agents or talent relations, it's easy to see like guys like Jim Ross come to mind, being that guy who's been there for a lot for talent. Agent wise, there's always, you know, you want to be Pat Patterson. Not everybody's that gifted. So I was very happy to be a Jack Lanza, being a player's agent and relating to talent, and not being so old where I forget what it was like to be, you know, 28 and on top of the world.
100%. And we're here with WWE legend D'Lo Brown. And, you know, as quietly as it's kept, we're just coming out of Saturday night's main event. And this is a big week in sports entertainment. You know, it's the Royal Rumble is this weekend. It's Saturday in Riyadh.
It is amazing how quickly this creeped up. Like, it just seemed like yesterday I was looking at pictures of the stadium being put together.
Yeah, I saw
and
that
now
too.
The show is this week.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe they're putting it together right now.
Like, literally, they're assembling the thing, they're and guys are flying right over there.
Right. So, and on TV, you know, amazing. You're just so used to it. You know, it's just like, I'm going to enter the Royal Rumble. It used to be a storyline trope on TV, and now it's like, oh, the Royal Rumble's this week, you know? Yeah. But in three of them. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Wasn't for Drew Carey, man.
I should have been in four. Damn, Drew Carey.
Should have been. Come on, Drew. You know. So, you know, what are the challenges of performing in a match like that, or even producing a match of that profile? And, you know, since we're talking about it, yeah, you care to make a prediction? Who you got this weekend? Who's going to WrestleMania?
So, going to WrestleMania, I have a feeling it's going to be Cody Rhodes again. Oh, okay. Just so he can go after Drew McIntyre. I think that could be the way it goes. Producing it is a difficult thing. And once again, the Royal Rumble is a Pat Patterson creation. And he used to put it all together himself. And I don't know how he did it, because you have to keep track of 30 guys and 29 eliminations. And he would always have the spot where the big guy would get over in the middle of the match by eliminating four or five guys and just shock it all. Those are difficult to put together just because there's so many moving parts. And you have to have your notepad ready so you don't forget anything of who's eliminating who and what's going where. But those matches to perform in, they're fun because there's less pressure because you're one of many as opposed to one-on-one or two-on-two. And you have many moments as opposed to, for me, you have many moments that you try to put together as opposed to trying to let me think of 18 or 20 minutes. Now I only have to think of like 3 minutes worth of good, cool stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to a SummerSlam. I think the next thing I'd like to do is go to a Royal Rumble, just because you get to see how many superstars come out. And, you know, it seems like it's a lot of fun. It just seems like it's a lot of fun to see the different guys run in and how they're eliminated. And then there's the surprise entries that wind up coming in, the throwback guys and things like that.
That's the thing right there. It's the element of surprise. You never know who's going to show up. And it is fun because it's constant excitement. It's a brand new participant every minute or so. It's someone new. So it's not just a static match. It's almost like 30 mini matches because every guy coming out is almost like its own little match. So it's pretty cool. The Rumble is one of those things you need to, it's a bucket list item for sure to check off. Go, I was part of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. Sure. I mean, you figure like that's, you know, to get a Rumble spot, you figure like, hey, I'm figured in here. Like they don't just give those out to anybody. So,
if you're in the Rumble, you're there for a reason, and if you're number one, that's almost as important as being number 29 and 30, because you're setting the tone, you're starting it off, and yeah, those moments don't just get thrown out there. You've got to earn that.
I mean, one and two set the tone. 29, 30, like, yeah, you're right. Everybody's a player. You know, everybody has their particular role to play. As far as the Royal Rumble goes, like what's your memory? Like, what is your, like, do you have like a Royal Rumble moment? Like, you know, like the whole, everybody talks about the WrestleMania moment. Like, what was it? You know, like, do you have like a Royal Rumble moment where you're just like, something happened that wasn't supposed to, or, you know, like just getting caught up in the moment, or like any particular Royal Rumble memory?
I think the biggest Royal Rumble moment I have is when, I forget the year, but I remember looking up and I was in the Final Four. And it was like me, Vince McMahon, Steve Austin, I think it was Mankind, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'm sitting there going, holy hell, I'm in the Final Four of the Royal Rumble! And it said, I knew I was going to be there, but to actually physically see it and feel it and be in that moment, looking around going, this is the Final Four of the Rumble! And I'm standing here.
That's amazing.
Pretty awesome. This is pretty awesome. Wow. So that's probably my biggest like Royal Rumble moment. That's the closest I ever come into winning the Royal Rumble. And it's a memory I'll hold on to forever because it was, hey, D'Lo Brown was in the Final Four of the Rumble. That's pretty cool.
That's right. That is a resume filler. You better recognize.
100%. You better recognize.
That's right. Check out part two of our interview with WWE legend D'Lo Brown later this week.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of the vote gets a shout out in this here show. Takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, Dave?
No.
That would be Josh Allen. Who are you pitching to? Who? Who? God damn it. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week, D?
Where is Morris? Aha. Aha. All right, so my first one is the National Football League. Z, we have the Pro Bowl this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Shedeur Sanders will be going to the Pro Bowl sporting 7 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
Yeah.
No, Josh Allen's not going. No, Patrick Mahomes is not going. No, Trevor Lawrence is not going. Fuck that noise. Shedeur Sanders will be playing for the AFC. Just scrap this thing, man. just do us all a favor and just scrap this thing. Like, are you kidding me? This guy who barely started, who barely played, is going to be in the Pro Bowl? What? Who hired this crew?
You're telling me Philip Rivers could do it?
National Football League. You are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I'm taking Sean Payton. Up 7-0, you decided to go for it on fourth down rather than kick the field goal with Jared Stidham as your quarterback and inclement weather on the way. You wind up chasing that field goal the rest of the game and lose 10-7. That's your ego, Sean. Poor play by you. Sean Payton, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, I'm taking Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams. 27-31. You're going for it on fourth down. But if we think back to the previous touchdown, if you went for two, you'd have 28. And all you'd have to do is kick a field goal to tie the game. But no, with 4.5 minutes left, you decide not to take the points, which would have made it 30-31. You go for it and you fail. And I don't think you got the ball back. And if you did, you got it back with you did get the ball back with very little time left and a whole field to go. Poor coaching. Sean McVay, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, you can't argue any of those.
Right. It was 20-31.
Oof.
And they scored the touchdown and they didn't go for two. You go for two there. That was what part of the game? That was in the fourth quarter. No, it was in the third quarter. 2 minutes left in the third quarter.
Stupid.
Dum-dum-dum-dum.
Well, they really absolutely need to figure out how to go about the, you know, when to be aggressive and when to take the points. It's something that coaches need to really think about. Time, context matters. It absolutely does. Right? Just because the probability says, oh, it's 4th and 1, we should do this. There's a time and place for everything. First up for me is Liverpool. You're having a rough year. Like, we talked about it with D'Lo. Like, they are stumbling out of the gate. The Mo Salah thing is an issue. They don't look right. And then they go and lose to Bournemouth, who is so nondescript, I confuse them with Brentford. This is the team that won the Premier League last year. No. Uh-uh. No way. Liverpool is in trouble. Liverpool, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Arsenal. I'm sticking with the Prems. Man U is in friggin' shambles. Just fired their manager. They don't know who the hell they are. They don't know their identity. So naturally, Arsenal loses. Good job. Way to go. Way to go. 3-2 on a screamer by Cunha. Beautiful goal. Just a gut punch all the way around. And don't look now. See that thing in the rearview mirror? That's Man City coming to take another Premier League title. Arsenal, beware the bottle. You are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, you gotta go with Drake May. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I understand the weather was an issue, but 10 of 21 for 86 yards, no passing, touchdown, sacked 5 times. Not great. Good enough, but not great. Like, if you're now all of a sudden drawing comparisons to Tom Brady, you got to be pulling in Tom Brady numbers. Those are rookie numbers in this racket. well, second year numbers in this rec. Drake May, you got 2 weeks to kind of fix this and get right, because he hasn't had a great postseason, and it's continued. Drake May, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than me. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.